All right, then, into hour number two. First hour was great. Brian Scalabrine, Tim Layden, both excellent at their jobs, breaking it all down. I'm coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Boston Red Sox manager Alex Cora in 15 minutes. Playing it pretty straight. I'm playing it pretty straight right now. But as soon as I get through the first half of this hour, maybe not as straight. Things might get a little crooked, a little sideways. We'll see. If you know what you want to talk about, one phone line open. This has been our best phone week of 2018, bar none. Keep it coming. Let's keep going. 1-800-636-8686. One of the reasons for that, Jeff in Richmond, the winner of the 2002 Smack-Off, came out of the woodwork yesterday and lit this thing on fire. Tweet deck was busted wide open from 9 Pacific to 12 noon. Haven't seen anything like that probably since the last Smack-Off. This guy's coming in here, crushing fools, name-dropping CBS executives. I mean, my man got loose. He got nice. Some of you loved it, some of you hated it, but he's back. The champ. Well, the 2002 champ is back. And as I mentioned on our Facebook page, that post outperformed 95% of the other posts that we've had on that Facebook page. So it's been that kind of week, call-wise. Toronto beaten by Cleveland once again. LeBron is in their head. He owns them completely. I'm not going to say the Raptors going to Raptor. They went in the tank. They choked. It's not even that. It's not about them. It's about LeBron. Let's talk about the other matchup last night. If you didn't know before last night, now you know. The Celtics are tough as hell. Terry Rozier is a damn star. Let's address the first part of that. And again, if you're on hold, stay there. Who am I kidding? None of you losers. Callers are hanging up. I don't need to say that. You're not going anywhere. Yeah, because Josh in Detroit's going to hang up. My man's been on hold for all of 2018. Where's he going? So addressing that first part, the Celtics are tough as hell. If you thought Philly was going to roll right in there and roll right over them, you could not be more wrong. And according to Marcus Morris, you were really wrong if you thought that Philly was the favorite in the first two games. He was told that after game two, they were in fact favored. And the guy was stunned. Quote, were they favored? When told that they were, he responded with, quote, they couldn't have been favored the first two games, could they? And told once again that that was the case, he said, quote, okay, bleep, this ain't Miami. Yeah, bleep, this ain't Miami. Slap that on some T-shirts, and you'll sell a half a mil before the series even gets back to Boston. Boston isn't Miami. But in the first half, Philadelphia made them look like Miami. The Celtics blew the doors off, or the Sixers blew the doors off of them in the first half. They were up by 22 in the first half. And that was the Philly that everybody expected to see in that series. The Philly that did not show up in game one. Explosive on offense, nasty on defense, and killing you on the glass. But if you thought that lead was safe, then you don't know the Celtics. You don't know Brad Stevens. And most of all, you don't know my man, Terry Rozier. Quote, coach was saying, whoever is the tougher team is going to win. They definitely punched us in the mouth at the beginning of the game. We just had to bounce back and get things together. End quote. Hell yes, they did. They took a haymaker to the face. They go down. They fumble around for their mouthpiece. But then they get back up and they go on a 50-20 run. Let me repeat that. A 50-20 run. Because, of course, they did. This team loves challenges. The more injuries they get, the fewer players they have, the better they get. And there's plenty to love of love to go around. I mean, you don't come back from down 22 in a playoff game thanks to only one guy. There was Jaylen Brown gutting it out for 13. Jason Tatum lighting it up for 21. And Al Horford, the most routinely disrespected all-star in the league, coming through for the game-icing shot. And, of course, the coach, Brad Stevens. Few guys, and Brian Scalabrine was all over this, few guys are better at finding your weaknesses and taking advantage of them than Brad Stevens. This guy literally made Ben Simmons disappear. He absolutely erased Ben Simmons from that game. 1 point. 1 point for a guy who's on the verge of being an absolute superstar in that league. It got to the point where the Sixers were better without Simmons in the game. In the second half, they were a better team with T.J. McConnell on the floor. Now, I never thought that I would say that, and I may never say it again, but that's the truth, and it's a testament to Brad Stevens. But last night, again, was about Terry Rozier. This guy's a star. He averaged just over 11 during the regular season, but he's up over 20 in the playoffs. His shooting percentages are way up, and why? Because he is built for these moments. But don't take my word for it. Take it from Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe busted out the scary Terry t-shirt for game day. That even pumped me up. When you break out a Drew Bledsoe throwback for game one, and then Drew Bledsoe breaks out a scary Terry T for game two, you have to show up big. And Rozier did just that. Euro-stepping fools.
Rozier moving it. Rozier sidestep. Ooh. Wow.
There is Rozier finding Tatum for a lob.
Redick in the corner. No. Rozier the rebound. Speed dribble, leaving it up. Tatum throws it down.
Thanks to TNT. But nothing more impressive than the three in front of Philly's bench and the stare down with the Sixers players. You drop that shot. Then you drop that stare. Damn good game. Damn good game, damn good series. It's going to be a damn good rivalry for years. That's the truth. And here's another one. I don't want this series going seven. I need this thing to go like 17. Because while it has all the makings of a great rivalry for the next 5 years, I want to binge watch those seasons right now. I don't want to wait until next season. Hell, I don't want to wait for game three. This is an on-demand world. And I demand that we stream these two teams playing each other nonstop for the next month. Go ahead and do that for me, will you? Can you pick me up? Can you hook me up? Thank you very much. Big fan of this series, obviously. Get in here. 1-800-636-8686. Phone lines are open. Small window open. Hit me up right now. Alex Cora coming up next segment. All right, also today, I want to talk some baseball. Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey's had better weeks. Matt Harvey is not living his best life. He had another bad night. I'll have that for you. Ichiro and the Mariners. I mean, I expect the Mariners to screw up a good thing. I expect the Mariners basically to screw up everything. But even the Mariners, I didn't expect would screw this up this badly. What a disaster. Ichiro is retiring. No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Retiring in May? Isn't this the guy who said that he would die on a baseball diamond? This guy was never going to retire. Ever. But he's retiring in the middle of a season? Yes, he is. No, he's not. What a mess. That's coming up later on. Got a smack-off RSVP take. Yesterday, we had the mother of all smack-off RSVPs with Jeff in Richmond. Also, a take that I've been fighting with all morning long. I'm not sure I can do it. I mean, I know I can do it. I'm not sure you can handle it. But I've got a passion. I think if you ask anybody at all, yo, Rome, what's his deal? What's his deal? Some of you might say, his deal is talking smack. His deal is horse racing. I think most of you know deep down what I'm about, where I come from, what's important to me, what gets me up in the morning, what I'm most passionate about. High school football in New Jersey. High school track and field in New Jersey. But something very sordid is going on there. May the 4th be with you. This says, Dear Romy Juan Smackoby, happy May the 4th. Or as we call it, Nerd 420. Got the land speeder backed up. Got the land speeder backed in. My denim cape on. And I've been ready for some hot Star Wars takes. Hook a Jedi up, brother. The Force will be with you always. P.S. I have a couple of quick questions. If you could be any Star Wars character, who would you be? What's your favorite Star Wars film in the whole saga? And lastly, what was the name of the famous rapper who hit on your wife? Nice try, Randall. No!
Yeah!
Randall, WFI in the OC.
Sometimes I just don't understand.
Got time for a quick phone call. Alex Cora coming up next segment, but before I go to break, if there's something I can trust, it's Canada. Canada always shows up a certain way. With that in mind, I go to Calgary. Bob in Calgary. What's up, Bob? How are you?
I'm good, Rome. I truly believe horses do get depressed after losing something. Because do you remember Sarah Jessica Parker when Sex in the City was canceled?
Anytime, Alvin. Anytime at all, Alvin.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that.
Alvin's like, this guy says, hey, Rome, I agree with you. I think horses do know when they lose. And I think they do get depressed. Do you remember Sarah Jessica Parker when Sex in the City got canceled? So I'm waiting. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-Mississippi, 4-Mississippi. Alvin's like just letting that marinate. Just let that sink in there. Alvin. Alvin's response to me was, dude, I was waiting for his punchline. All right, then. I'll accept that, Alvin. I'll accept that. Yeah, great take, Bob. Way to make me look bad again, Bob. Way to make me think that going to Canada was a good idea, Bob. Sarah Jessica Parker has got nothing to do with the Derby.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening.
Sarah Jessica Parker, Frank, has got nothing to do with my freaking show. She's got nothing to do with anything that I ever talk about. Have I ever made that a topic? Have I ever talked about that show or that movie? You know, maybe the movie back in the day because it was a thing. I don't know. Don't care. Not into it. Her and Broderick, it all means nothing to me. Personal appearances, still not show fodder. Hey, do I need to spell this out for you? An accomplished actress, very talented lady, probably a good person. Does not look like a horse.
It doesn't make any sense.
There, I said it. Leave it alone. Rome, I know the Louisville Cardinal Nation is hyped that Rozier and Mitchell are the stars of the playoffs. No surprise to me. I saw how prolific they are at scoring during their recruiting trips. Regards, Destiny the Stripper. More Zach in SLC. I mean, that by comparison is like a genius take. And that's pretty dumb in and of itself. Hey, Rome. Ichiro is retiring. They must not have a younger, better player to replace him. Signed, Ben Roethlisberger. Steven PHX. When we return, get back to doing it the right way. Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, joins me. Mother's Day sneaks up. Then you hit the panic button. You get suckered into online flower giants pitching $19.99 flowers that end up costing $60. Or you end up grabbing last-minute produce department flowers that smell oddly like green onions. That tells mom you didn't give a damn. You didn't care enough to send flowers from the Books. Books is short for bouquets, and they are booking awesome. Books flowers are as unique and special as your mom. They're freshly cut from Books Farms, and they are delivered straight to your mom, so they last weeks, not days. Books even has farms located on the side of a volcano, which produce flowers that are so gorgeous, mom is going to post the pics and brag about you online. And because Books cut out the middlemen, you will get amazingly fresh flowers at an amazing price. Show mom how much you care. Send her artisan design flowers from the Books. Order right now and get 15% off when you enter Rome at BOUQS.com. BOUQS.com. Remember to enter Rome. Save 15%. Books.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. This is a great Friday, and it's getting better. I'm fired up for this one. If you're on hold, stay there. We're joined right now by the manager of the Boston Red Sox. First season as Red Sox manager. He had a 14-year career in the major leagues. He was a World Series winner as a player and a coach. The Red Sox are 22-9. They're in first place in the AL East. They are at Texas tonight. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is my guest. Alex, it is great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you, brother?
My man, I'm great. Alex, it is so good to talk to you, and I really appreciate you doing it. You're 31 games in as your first season as Red Sox manager. There are a million things I want to talk to you about, but let me start right here. What has the entire experience been like so far?
It's been great. Honestly, as you know, in the city we play in, you know, sports rule the world, you know. Between the Celtics, the Bruins, the Patriots, the Red Sox, our fan base is as passionate as I am with my sport, you know, with baseball, and it's been a blast. I know, and as you know, we're going to have great days, you know, the media, the fans are gonna have a blast with us. Then we're going to have tough days with them too, but it's part of the experience. But so far, so good, man. I'm having a great time with it.
Alex Cora, my guest. I want to talk to you more about the experience in a moment, Alex, but let me ask you about a couple of your guys. You dropped a tough one last night in Texas, but in that game, Mookie Betts homered again. He's got four in the past two games. I know the two of you had a conversation in January where you told him the scouting report that you had on him when you were with the Astros. What was that scouting report?
It was his first two at-bats. He's auto-taken. That means, you know, he's taking a strike, and then after that you can expand the zone. With two strikes, you can attack away and expand with the slider. He's going to run out of bat. What means is that he's not going to be able to make hard contact with pitches in the outside of the plate. And basically, I told him, be ready to attack. You're going to be my leadoff hitter from the first day of the season until November, if everything goes right. So be ready. Be ready to hit. And he took it by heart. This is a guy that from pitch one, he's ready to hit. He's ready to attack. And that doesn't mean he's going to swing at the first pitch every time. But his mindset, and you can see his body language, he's telling the pitcher, you better execute from pitch one. If not, I can do damage. And so far, so good. It's been great to see him perform. This is a very athletic guy that he's just finding, you know, new stuff, you know, swing-wise. Mindset-wise, and you see the results, and I'm very excited with him right now, and obviously looking forward for great results the rest of the season.
He took it to heart. He changed his approach. Alex Cora joining us. Now, Alex, I mentioned you were with my guy A.J. Hinch in Houston last year. He is one of my favorite managers in baseball. What was that experience like for you, and what was your biggest takeaway from your time with him?
Well, first of all, he's great with media. He does an outstanding job with the media. I know I'm in a different market, but he was awesome. You could see it during the playoffs, the way he handled the whole series, you know, the Yankee series, the Dodgers, everything with the bullpen. He never panicked, and he never showed panic, you know, to the media and the fans. Second, the way he connected with the front office, with the medical staff and the players, it's very important to make sure that it's not like separate groups. Usually when you talk about organizations, oh yeah, the GM, you talk about the GM, and then you talk about the analytic department, and then you talk about the medical staff and the players and the coaching staff. And you don't want them to be split up. Actually, you want everybody to work together. And AJ has this ability to get everybody together, to work on the same page and obviously accomplish their goals. And that was my biggest takeaway. It was a pleasure working with him the whole season. We stay in touch. We talk a lot. We talk almost every other day, and he's helping me throughout the process. And I know he's off to a good start over there. They have a great team, and I'm very proud of him.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora, my guest. Alex, you made the point, and it's so true. I mean, you both have the similar gig, but the gigs are totally different in the sense that you've got a totally different media market. I mean, in fact, there aren't too many jobs in sports that come with more pressure than being the manager of the Boston Red Sox. You played in Boston, so you know the pressure that comes along with being in Boston, but as you've said, you did not go there to take that job to change who you are. So how do you approach dealing with that pressure and making sure that it doesn't change you?
Well, honestly, Jim, I learned a few years ago, I managed winter ball in Puerto Rico. I actually managed my hometown team, the Caguas Criollos. I was the GM and the manager. And for two seasons, you know, everything on the field was fine. I think the guys did an outstanding job. You know, my group, the coaching staff, we did a good job putting them in positions to be successful. But honestly, Jim, I didn't have fun. It was a grind for me. And I think those 2 years I changed as a person, you know, like I was trying to be too strict. I was stuffing the guys, but at the same time, you know, it was something weird. And I actually ended up firing myself. You know, I was a GM saying, you know what, you're not going to manage next year. So I took a step back and I promised myself, say, the next time you manage, regardless where is it, ABLE, AA, AAA, or the big leagues, you're going to have fun. You can't change. You know the game, you're confident about it, you know you're going to connect with players, but at the end, you can be miserable, you know. You know why? Because you got a family. And if I'm miserable, then I go into the house, you know, after games, and I'm not going to be a good dad, I'm not going to be a good husband, and I'm not going to be a good son, you know. So I promise myself, whatever happens, wherever I end up, I'm going to have a blast with it. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to be myself. And everybody around me is helping me out. I think I have a great support system. My family's there, and it's always fun when the game is over, regardless of the result, just to go home and be Alex, you know, and take care of the kids and make phone calls, talk to your friends, and disconnect at least for a little bit from what is a grind. We know it's 162 games. We know that, you know, if we play the way we want to, we have goals to accomplish in October. But without that support and be myself, it's not possible. So right now, so far, so good, man. And like I said before, Jim, it's been great to be in front of this team, and I know it's going to be great the rest of the season.
I see you working, Skip. What a great message for all of us, man. Don't bring it home. You're no good to anybody if you bring that home.
Yeah, you said it simple. You know, I had to go around and talk about the family and bring everybody to the equation, but that's the way it is, man. Don't bring home. I mean, you know how it is, man. 160, you go about it every day. You know, you have to do your show and do everything. You do your research, and you have good days and bad days. But at the end, man, the family's there for you. You have to take care of them.
And you got to be there for them. Alex Cora, my guest. You know, I'm glad you brought up Puerto Rico. Let me ask you this. When you were having conversations with the Red Sox about becoming their manager, you asked the team if they would support a relief trip to Puerto Rico in the offseason, and they were on board. And earlier this year, you, along with members of the organization, Alex, and a couple of the players, went to deliver supplies. When you look back on that trip, what do you remember most? What kind of memories do you have?
Well, on the flight from Boston to San Juan, I told everybody, I said, be ready, because it's something different. It's, you know, what you're going to see, probably you've never seen in your life. But one thing you're going to get from the people we're gonna impact is true love. It's people that are very genuine. When they tell you thank you, it's coming from the heart. When they give you a hug, you're going to feel it. And after we were there, we impacted 300 families in my hometown. And Chris Sale was there, Rick Porcello, Sam Kennedy, Mayor Walsh, 65 people of the organization went down there with me. And that's what they told me afterwards. They were like, Alex, man, you were right. It was awesome. And this is not the end of it. We're going to keep working, because as you know, and as you saw 2 weeks ago when the Indians and the Twins played down there, we're not there yet, man. We need a lot of help. It's slowly but surely coming to where we want to be, but it's taking a while, and we need all the help we can get, and we're going to keep helping my Puerto Rico.
Good for you. Alex, one last thought. The plan tonight is to face Bartolo Colon. You were teammates with him 10 years ago. I got to know, what was he like as a teammate, especially as it related to, like, the Stairmaster and his TV viewing habits?
You see, man, so Bartolo, very talented. You know, I was just looking at his numbers, and he's been amazing this season. So in 2008, Bart was playing with us, and he had the Stairmasters upstairs. And as a member of the team, you got to watch the game. So on a TV on the left side, he has the game. Let's say we're playing the Rangers, and it's at 8 o'clock. And on the right-hand TV, there was a soap opera. So he was locked in both. muting the game and listening to the soap opera. But it was like the funniest thing. Just think about Bart and a Stairmaster, and then the soap opera on the right and the game on the left. It was unreal, man. This guy is amazing.
And the game was muted, but the soap opera was up. I mean, Alex, what's it say about this cat that he's still pitching in the major leagues at 44? What's it say about him as a professional that he's still doing it at 44?
Different pitcher. Remember with the Indians, it was 97, 98, and just throwing fastballs up. Now you see him pitch, and it's teaching, you know, if you're a high school pitcher, or you thinking about becoming a pitcher, you know, in college or whatever, just see him go about his business. The way he places his fastball, his fastball away, fastball in, fastball away, fastball in, fastball up. This guy throws 85% fastball in an era that, you know, it's now if you're one of the best pitchers in big leagues, it's 50-50, 50% fastball, 50% breaking balls, and this guy is doing it with a fastball. His ERA is under 3. You know, it looks last year with the Braves, it seems like he lost it, but then he got it back, and he's a tough customer, man. We have a tough one in front of us. Let's see how we're going to attack him, but, hey, man, he's doing an outstanding job, and talking about enjoying the game, enjoying your craft, he does it. He does that, and it's a pleasure to watch, but not tonight. Yeah.
Red Sox, 22-9. They're in first in the AL East. Their manager, Alex Cora, my guest. Alex, I can't say how much I appreciate you. That was an absolute blast. So great to have you on the show, Alex. Thank you very much, and good luck.
Thank you, Jim. We'll do it again.
I would love to do it again. Alex Cora, my guest. What a blast that was. Red Sox manager, Alex Cora. Easy to see how he got that job. You sit down, you talk baseball with him, you see the way he relates to players. You know, the thing I didn't get into with him that I wanted to, and I want to make this point as I go to break. Be right with you, Rich. The thing that I want to say going to the break is all these guys, kind of like the new breed of manager, A.J. Hinch, Dave Roberts, Torey Lovello, Alex Cora. These guys understand it's all about communication. It's all about relating to players. It's about getting these guys to do what you need them to do, getting as much out of them, but it's about relating to them on a personal level. Think about all the good, good young managers like that. He has it. He has what they have. He's one of them. And just talking to him, you can see the way he relates, that chemistry, the charisma. He's got that it. Very good leader and a great baseball guy, obviously. Terry Francona used to say to him, when he played for Terry Francona, Alex, you're going to be a manager one day. I'm telling you, you'll be a manager one day. Not only is he a manager, not only was Tito right about that, this guy's going to be a damn good manager. A really, really good manager. And I say that 31 games in, but I believe that. All right, when we come back, we are open the rest of the way, and we'll see where that takes us. Lots of different takes today, different angles, different places to go. Kind of a funky Friday here in the jungle. About to funk it up here in the jungle. A take that I really want to get to that I think is really important that I'm not sure that you clones can handle. I'm undecided on that. But I know this. You got a sports up.
From Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Been meaning to tell you that Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So you want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question there. I will answer one later on in the program. And thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Man, I couldn't be more hyped. Could not be more hyped on the three interviews we've had. Brian Scalabrine, Tim Layden, Alex Cora. Three excellent interviews. Couldn't be more hyped on the calls we've had this week. Best call week of 2018. And part of that has to do with the Smack-Off announcement. The countdown to the biggest day in the jungle continues. Smack-Off 24, if you did not know, is Friday, July 20th. I think that's why we're having such a good week. In fact, I know that's why we're having our best call week of the year. Because I made the announcement earlier this week, and I told you at that time, make sure you've got it cleared. Make sure you're listening or watching on CBS Sports Network. Make sure you're ready to follow along on Twitter and TweetDeck. I did my part by giving you the date with plenty of notice. Now you need to do your part by showing up. Speaking of showing up, nothing lets the host of the event know that you're going to be there better than with an RSVP. And for Smack-Off, RSVPs, they do come a few different ways. Some guys like to text me. Some guys like to DM me. Other guys will reach out to staffers. Some will announce their intended presence on Twitter. But the absolute best way to do this, the best way to officially let the world know that you're going to be there for the biggest event is by doing it on air. Nobody understands this better than the guy who did it yesterday. Smack-Off 24 got its first on-air RSVP from the most unlikeliest of callers.
Let me first of all say, Jim, to the millions, Jim, and the millions of my peeps across the fruited plain, Jim, that
finally, Jim, the dirtiest player in the game, Jeff from Richmond, has come back to the Jim Rome Show.
The dirtiest player in the game. I love how he still has millions and millions of followers. This cat hasn't called the show probably in 8 years. But the dirtiest player in the game is back. And you know what? He's right. Because that phone call carried the program yesterday. And if we don't hear from that guy between now and the smack-off, at least we all know the dirtiest player in the game is going to be there on July 20th. One of my all-time favorite RSVP calls. Speaking of which, one of my all-time favorite RSVP calls may not have actually been an RSVP call at all, but it came from Mike in Indy last year.
I'm all over that number one spot like stank on S, and I'm going to have all these other callers screaming like that tennis chick when I win it again this year. These callers going to be screaming, help me, help me. You can call this an RSVP call, Romy, but I don't do RSVP calls. I make RESPECT calls. Find out what it means to me calls.
Only that dude can make that line work. Or so I thought. Because as instantly classic as that was, Vic and NoCal had a very different take.
Mike, did you really come in here with an RESPECT, find out what it means to me blast? Really, Mike? Did you seriously just try to Aretha us? You corny, man. See, you came in here today, Mike, calling other people scrubs, but I don't think you even know what that word really means. See, a scrub is basically a guy who thinks he's fly, also known as a buster. You know, he's always talking about what he wants, but he just sits on his broke ass. And that's you, Mike. And you just got TLC'd, my main man. You just got TLC'd.
You corny, man. I mean, without question, one of the great, great rivalries in the jungle. Mike and Vic, DLC and Broadway. I think I speak for everyone when I say I hope there's a new chapter of hate between these two that's about to be written. Although I have not heard from either one of these two in a little while. A minute, or in the case of Mike, an hour. Another great RSVP call came back in 2016 from Mark in Boston when he phoned in to say that he was showing up for Smackoff 22.
Jim, I know the challenge before me is great, the odds are long, but much like Antonio Cromartie when he found out his wife's tubes were tied, challenge accepted.
I mean, that's so much better than a text or a tweet or a DM. And so is Mark in Hollywood's RSVP that very same year.
I'm going to drop a little piece of intel that I've come across, a little nugget of information that was leaked to me that's going to change the game. You heard it here first, clones. It's going to be a game changer. It's going to shake up the world. And I'm going to be bringing back the crown to the land, Hollywood land. Oh, I forgot. Leff and Laguna should give a lecture on how to not overcompensate due to micropenis syndrome. Rock me!
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Dude just went with a micropenis syndrome blast on Leff. And somehow got that in under the buzzer. Somebody was a little slow with the trigger that day. No names mentioned. Cavs play-by-play announcer Lil Alvin DeLauro, the elf who badly needs a sandwich.
And then there's Alvy. Dude, I look at Alvy. I just want to mail him a sandwich. Elf needs food badly.
Elf needs food badly. 77 days till the smack-off, Elf. Plenty of time to RSVP, but you cannot RSVP if you're not invited. And you can't be invited unless you have an exemption or a golden ticket. So if you want to RSVP anytime between now and then, but you don't have a ticket, then come rip a ticket. Start dialing. It's getting very late, very quickly. Smackoff 24, July 20. Let's get it. Let's go. Let's do it. Now this guy is invited. Back to the phones. Let's go to Buffalo. Rick in Buffalo is in already unless I snatch that golden ticket and he gets helicoptered. But right now, he's in. We go there right now. Rick, what's going on, brother?
Always great to be back in, Jim. Right off the top, let me address the featherweight clones who keep accusing me of stealing Jeff and Richmond's swag. I've sounded this way since I was five, and I've been pulling older chicks ever since. You know, you're really dumb enough to believe I'd model my game after that broken-down train wreck. You heard that call yesterday. Jeff sounded like he just woke up from a 10-year nap and then accidentally butt-dialed the show. His timing was off, his material dated, and just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, he shouts out to his boy, Rogan Loam. Nice touch, Jeffrey. And as I tweeted out yesterday, Jim, Jeff was like the former Major League slugger who showed up on Old Timers Day and could barely swing the bat. Now let me give you the real update on Jeff in Richmond. He traded in those 26-inch pipes for a 52-inch waistline. His mannerly countryside estate went into foreclosure in 2008. And his once trophy wife now resides in my bedroom. And although yesterday's call killed your legacy, Jeffrey, there's still a chance to save your dignity. So I'm going to tell you this one time and one time only. Don't come around here no more, brother, because your old bones can't handle the hate that burrows deep inside my soul. And Jim, did Caleb in Green Bay really come in here and try giving me a few pointers? Since when is a guy who still shares a bed with his sister and walks around with permanent ketchup stains on his shirt qualified to give anyone advice? I'm getting real sick of you, Caleb. You really are an impossible guy to like, and it's got nothing to do with the fact you're fat and ugly. Caleb was all over Twitter humble bragging that Jim said he was the best caller never to win the smack off. You got to listen more carefully, Lab, because what he really said was, you're the biggest breasted caller never to win the smack off. So congratulations. That's a title you're never going to relinquish. War the smack off season. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
Rick in Buffalo. Rackham, I don't think we have to speculate any longer as to whether or not that guy might get helicoptered. He's in. He's in. That's not even a golden ticket. He's just in. He's one of those guys who's in. His game is getting better and better and better. That takedown on Jeff. For all of you who think that I ripped off this guy's swag, this is the way I've sounded since I was five when I started to pull older chicks. And then he was just gone, man, out of the gate doing Rick things. 1-800-636-8686. Let me be clear about something. When I say that the best way to RSVP is not by text, is not by DM, but by phone, what I'm saying is the only way to RSVP is by phone. Don't look for the punk way out. Don't look for the lazy way out. Don't think that the rules do not apply to you because you have so much game or you've won this thing. Man, pick up the phone. Pick up the phone, lob a call. You don't have to do a full smack-off call. You don't even need a call as good as the one Rick in Buffalo just laid down. Pick up the phone. Now, look, if you've got any pride or any game, you will. But RSVP on the phone. Let us know. Get in here. Do it the right way. It all comes down to the day of. As an example, there are some guys who've had tremendous game that could never show up that day. Your body of work is not going to win you this thing. It's not. If you make good call after good call, but then you show up on that day and you mess the bed or you mess the high school field, I'm still not sure whether or not I'm going there. It doesn't mean your body of work is not going to carry the day. However, if you're a guy like Rick and you keep calling and you keep getting racked and you keep showing up and showing out, there's something to it. It means something. And whereas it might not win you the day on that day, I can't lie to you, it might be starting to get inside the voters' heads. that you're a guy who's not afraid. You're a guy showing up. You're a guy putting yourself out there every single time. Third hour's coming up. Another legendary blast from the past may be on hold. We need to vet that. Third hour coming up. It's going to be a great hour to end the week. Do not go anywhere.